This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Pets Aloud. This is Joy's very own program about pets. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslam. Also joining us in the studio, just like every week, is at Lost Dogs Home's Kate Holter, General Manager of Communications and Fundraising, and Alan Bolton, the Senior Veterinarian. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So on Pets Aloud today, we're going to look at the Lost Dogs Home's Behaviour Rehabilitation Program. Now, a badly behaved dog can lead to many problems, and the Lost Dogs Home runs a really vital program that improves the chances of finding and staying in a new home.
A well-behaved dog extends beyond merely just good manners, sitting down, rolling over, that sort of thing, doesn't it, guys?
It does. Owning a badly behaved dog can be really, really stressful. It's difficult to form a strong bond with a badly behaved dog, and it's a really common reason for dogs to be returned to shelters.
Mm-hmm. We actually usually see a lot of adolescent dogs coming into the shelters with behavioural problems, but that is something we'll be talking about throughout the show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this goes back to making that commitment and researching and thinking about what you need to do to be a responsible owner and putting in that time, socialising and with obedience training.
So later in the program, Alan and I will be looking at a Cocker Spaniel who sooks throughout the night to keep his owners awake. Do you have any behaviour-related questions? Please send them in to us.
Pets Aloud. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So don't forget, you can also SMS us on air at 0427 joy 949, or that email address was on air at joy.org.au.
Also coming up on Pets Aloud today, we preview upcoming dog friendly events in Dog Dates,
and at the tail end of the program, we'll draw the curtains open on our pet of the week. So coming up, we bring you up to speed in the news of the week with the Lost Dogs Home news wrap. Right now, let's hear from MGMT with Kids. This is Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. Contact us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time for the Pets Aloud News Wrap. Now, what is the news of this week? Alan, how was Cup Weekend?
We had a really busy weekend over the Cup Weekend, with lots of people making the most of the long holiday to adopt. Last week, we talked about we were renovating our new cat, our cat area, and that we were a little bit short of space there. So over the weekend, we had 18 cats going to loving new homes, which brings it to a total of 35 cats for the first week of November. And I think you were filming the cats, Kevin, weren't you, and putting them on the website?
We did do a little bit of extra promotion for the cats because as you said, we had the renovations, which meant that we were running out of space. We had all these cats and we needed to get them homes. So it's great to see that we've actually had made a difference that, you know, posting on our social media and that sort of stuff really made that difference in getting people to come and think about adopting a cat.
It's great. And we would all, you know, everyone at the home would like to thank each one of you for opening your hearts and for significantly changing the life of a cat that will be forever grateful to you.
Mm. And what else has been happening this week, Oz?
Well, just continuing on from that adoption message, we want to highlight two gorgeous 9-year-old male Maltese Terrier mixes that are currently up for adoption. Sammy and Billy have been with us for quite some time now, and we just want to put them out there to you, basically. They arrived at the home in a severe state of neglect with long and heavily matted coats. They had no form of ID, and they weren't de-sexed. They have since received a really good wash. They've been groomed. They've received basically a mini makeover, really. And now the fantastic personalities are really shining. Sammy and Billy are looking for an owner who loves spending time with their pets, whether it be socialising down at the cafe or having some downtime in front of the TV. If you're interested to find out more about these two guys, do check them out on our website, dogshome.com. Their ID tags, just quickly, Sammy, 9... 21040 and Billy 921041. We'll be repeating these numbers at the end of the program for our Pets of the Week segment.
That's right, and they are currently on our social media pages as well. Kate, how about Cup Day? There was a few storms happening. What happened? Yeah. Did we get a few extra dogs?
We got a lot of extra dogs. There were storms in the Craigieburn and Sunbury area. So overall, between Cranbourne and North Melbourne, we had 50 lost dogs come in. 37 came into the North Melbourne lost dogs home. But we're really, really thrilled to see that perhaps the message of ID is getting out there, because most of those dogs had ID, either a tag or a microchip. And of the 37 that came into North Melbourne, we've actually been able to reunite 35 with their owners, which is fantastic. But we also want to put the call out there. If your dog is missing, please come into North Melbourne. You can contact us on 9329 2755, but the best thing you can do is actually come in physically to the shelter and have a look for your dog.
And it's important to make sure that you not only have identification on your pet, but make sure that your details are up to date as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if they are lost, we can contact you. Now, one other story we had this week was little Miri. She was a rescue dog. She got found in a river, in Maribyrnong River. She took 5 hours to get her out of there. And we had her in, she was actually in the paper this week, mm-hmm. as well as on our website and everything like that. You know, she had to learn how to be good around water, how to be, you know, friendly towards other people and everything like that. And so, yeah, she's great. And you can check out more about Miri on our website at dogshome.com. And that's where all our news is as well. To take us to the next segment, we're going to listen to Pat Benatar with We Live For Love. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. I am Kevin.
I'm Oslem.
And we're here with Alan and Kate as well. And today we're talking all things behaviour rehabilitation. Now, don't forget, we will be podcasting the show as well. So if you want to catch up with us afterwards, you can check out our program page on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. So sadly, a high percentage of dogs at the Lost Dogs Home that come in with behavioural issues will never be claimed by their owners. Generally speaking, their owners don't claim them because they feel they're a nuisance or don't want to deal with that problem behaviour. Now, these dogs are generally adolescent or young dogs that might have been obtained as a puppy, and then once they start acting up, they get sent to the shelter.
Mm-hmm. A high number of unclaimed dogs at the home need additional training and socialisation before going up for adoption. The Lost Dogs Home has a comprehensive behaviour modification program run in conjunction with Planet Canine.
So the program gives dogs with behaviour problems the opportunity to be rehabilitated and better their chances of getting adopted and staying in a new home. So Alan, I'll throw this question over to you. How do you identify if a dog needs that to go into the program?
Well, a lot of dogs will pass our assessment outright, and that's fine. They can go straight to adoptions, but with some dogs we may be a little bit unsure, so we'll pass them over to behaviourists so that they can spend a little more time investigating their behaviour in more depth. Other dogs will show signs of behaviour which will make them difficult to adopt or difficult to settle them into a new home. So the behaviourists and the trainers can spend time with those dogs so that they can assess the behaviour and then teach them new behaviours over a period of time. Sometimes we get, you know, lots of little timid dogs that are really scared, and in that case we can send them on to our foster carers so they can build up their confidence. So there are lots of different ways that dogs can go through the home.
Each dog is so individually different. You know, we know that by our own experience with our own pets. Is this program tailored to the dog's needs?
Yeah, okay. So we have Nicole, who's our dog behaviour specialist that works at the home. She also runs Planet Canine, and she tailors a program for each of the dogs. So our animal attendants at the Lost Dogs Home have what they call project dogs. So it's a dog that they work with that is in the behaviour rehabilitation program that has a project. So it might be a scared dog that they just need to take out for 15 minutes a day so that starts getting used to having people around or things like that. So that's all documented, and they write their comments afterwards as well. So it means that when someone comes to adopt that dog, once they've, you know, passed the behaviour rehabilitation and up for adoption, it means that person that's going to adopt them knows more about them because they've had that experience.
And I think, you know, during the adoption process as well, having had that, the dog sort of profiled in a way, enables us to find the right people.
That's right.
To adopt the dogs.
Yeah, and the adoption team really makes sure that, and Nicole as well, or anyone who's worked with that dog, makes sure that they're actually going to the right person, and all that information is passed on to them so they know exactly what they're taking on, and we can be sure that they're going to commit to that dog to continue the training or the socialisation. Sometimes, you know, every dog at the Lost Dogs Home actually gets a free free post-adoption training session. Mm. That's one of the services that we offer. But sometimes these behaviour modification or rehabilitation dogs need more than that. And on occasion, we'll give them a whole, many sessions with Nicole or one of her trainers.
So, for example, the dog that I spoke about before, Miri, she came into the home about 3 weeks ago and she was put on a program and she was put into behaviour rehabilitation because initially she was terrified. She was quite scared. She would not go near me because I was filming her. I was working on a video for her. And so she was working with Louise, who's one of our animal attendants, and she got that program and everything like that, and which meant that when Miri got to a place where we could adopt her out, they had all that information. They knew that she was first scared of water, but now she loves water and she can't keep her away. You know, she was found in a river. Mm. So she had that terrified thing first. So part of it was about creating positive experiences for her, and also positive experiences around people because she was quite frightened of people as well. So, you know, it is an important program at the Lost Dogs Home because there is so much that we have to do for some of these dogs.
Mm-hmm. And it just seems like following the adoption, having these dogs return to the home, you know, for training would be a great way to stay in touch with how they're going and seeing their progress.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really rewarding to see them.
We've been doing this for about a year now, isn't it? Or maybe a couple of years. And it all changed because before that we were only allowed to keep animals in the shelter for 28 days, which didn't really give us enough time to do anything with them. But the state government changed the code of practice recently, and that means that we can keep them for as long as we need.
Yeah, so they can be in rehabilitation for as long as it needs to
adjust
their behaviour.
Yeah,
and also once they got for adoption, sometimes dogs just take that bit longer to find the right owner. So we have the luxury now of just keeping them for as long as it takes.
And it makes the whole system much more flexible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is the same with cats as well. So cats that stay at the shelter for quite a while, we have had cats that have been there for 2, 3 months, 4 months sort of thing. Just looking, waiting for that new home. And we've had dogs that have been through behaviour rehabilitation that may require special needs and may require that special owner. And it can happen. They can stay for 3 or 4 months until that person comes along. And then they find, you know, that great new owner. And it's really lovely.
It's that old saying, there's someone for everyone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about our behaviour rehabilitation program at all, or just anything we're talking about today, just SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, just quickly, Kate, one of your dogs, Tess, I think she's called now. I knew her as Winnie when she was actually in the behaviour rehabilitation program. How is she going? Has there been benefit from the program?
Oh, absolutely. She's coming ahead in leaps and bounds. I've spent a lot of time with her, I guess, exposing her to different situations. She goes for lots of walks. She's actually living with other dogs. She's still a little bit timid, and I think she'll be timid for some time. But when I first met her, she was hiding under the bed. Now, she wouldn't do that now, so she is progressing. And I must say, it is completely rewarding. Seeing her in a safe new home and just, you know, getting more and more confident every day.
So you are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Stick around. We're going to be talking about different types of problem behaviour in dogs. So if you want to know more, stick around and have a listen. You are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. I'm Kevin.
I'm Aslam.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Kate.
And today we are talking about behaviour rehabilitation. Now, the spectrum of problem behaviour is quite broad. There are quite different behaviours that we might see dogs come into the program for. We should probably start with talking about what problem behaviour is. So, Alan, this is probably a question that's good for you.
I suppose the three main types of behaviour that we see that cause a problem. The first one is aggression, and then we get, like we've said before, we get lots of adolescent dogs who were great as puppies, but then they get too big and people don't train them, so they can be quite hyperactive, out of control. And then finally, there's a huge group of dogs which haven't been socialised, so they've just sat in the backyard, haven't interacted with people, don't know what the world is like, and we get lots of these timid and scared dogs.
I have seen a dog like that come through the program. He initially went into the program because he didn't really know how to walk on a lead, which is another thing that we try and train. We try and train dogs to make safe. We want to make safe dogs out in the environment. It's safer for people. It's safer for the dogs as well. You know, he didn't know how to walk on a lead, so that's fine. He went into the behaviour mod program because we want to make sure those dogs that are getting adopted all have some basic manners at least. Yeah. And we actually discovered that he was deathly afraid of cars. So when you walk him down the street, he was completely frightened of cars, and it was because, well, he'd probably been in the backyard the whole time and never really noticed it.
Yeah, cars are big things, and if you haven't seen them before, you know, they're pretty scary.
Quite often things, household things like, you know, vacuum cleaners, hair dryers, those sorts of, you know, unusual noises that they haven't heard before as well.
Yeah, I my dogs still aren't used to the hairdryer either. You try and pull it out after they've had a shower or, like, you know, they've had a bath, but they sort of run away. It is one of those things that, you know, you never really know until it happens.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
So that's the thing. Sometimes you see dogs in the past of the behaviour assessment that will go into adoptions, and then you'll find that there's actually something that needs a bit more work and needs to be assessed. So dogs can actually go into adoptions and then go to behaviour rehabilitation. It's not just one straight process, you know, behavioural assessment into behaviour mod. There's quite different things.
So generally speaking, what are the ways that we can sort of tackle these behavioural problems?
I suppose if with the really bouncy, hyperactive dogs, it's a question of channeling the energy. So teaching them something different other than being destructive. So training them and rewarding good behaviour is the way we go. And then we can pass that on to the new owners and show them how to do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Aggressive dogs, everything that we do is governed by a code of practice, and if dogs show aggression towards people, we can't rehome those because, you know, we need to be safe. If they're aggressive towards other dogs, then depending on, you know, how they behave, we can often desensitize them. So it's just about not pushing their boundaries. Often they're aggressive because they feel threatened. So once you socialize them, take them to group training, often they'll improve.
Yeah, so we do have volunteers that actually come and work with the behavior rehabilitation dogs as well, that take them to the training classes and walk them together.
And actually another change to the code of practice recently is that we can actually walk dogs off site, which has been fantastic. So we can actually take the dogs out of the grounds of the Lost Dogs Home, and especially those that are a bit timid, it's really great socialization for them to meet other dogs, other cars, and in other situations as well. So it's good.
Okay, so we see a lot of timid and scared dogs at the home, as we just discussed. A lot of the time these dogs are afraid because they've been mistreated or haven't been socialised enough.
So earlier this year, Daryl and Ozzy, two Jack Russell Terriers, arrived at the home in a quite a traumatised state. They were extremely under-socialised, they were distressed by human contact and particularly males. So the pair were placed in our behaviour rehabilitation program, where they received special help from both foster carers, volunteers, animal attendants, veterinary staff, also Planet Canine staff. So quite a lot of people actually worked with them. They're at the home for 3 months, I believe. So Nicole Beasley, dog behavioural specialist at Planet Canine, and also our specialist at the Lost Dogs Home, is going to take us through Daryl and Ozzy's journey.
We placed them into the Lost Dogs Home foster care program for 5 days. The boys did not even know how to eat regular dog food and would search for scraps such as bird feathers, leaves and animal feces to eat. Gradually, their confidence grew and they were introduced to other dogs and family pets. Ozzy remained in foster care with a bold, silky terrier called Comet, who took to the task of teaching Ozzy how to play with toys. Daryl returned to the Lost Dogs Home, where he was paired with a gorgeous little terrier called Lolita. It was love at first sight for Daryl. We trained the boys using a gentle, positive, reward-based training method. Step one was to make them more confident with human hands. They then started the basics such as sit and come when called. I outlined specific training and socialisation programs for Daryl and Ozzy, and they were each assigned to animal attendants who worked with them daily. Michelle talks about her experience training Daryl.
So I found that initially he was quite wary of me, and obviously there's some trust issues there. So what I've been doing with him is just training him to walk on a lead. All I've been doing is just simply putting on a lead on him and giving him treatment boards to say that this lead is okay. So then we come to the training area in here. I pop him down. I let him walk around with the lead just to get comfortable with it. And then I end up grabbing onto the lead just slightly and gently and letting him lead me around. So I'll be working with Daryl over the next few weeks. Hopefully getting him used to the lead, eventually maybe even being able to teach him how to walk on the lead properly.
Our volunteers played an important role in rehabilitating Daryl and Ozzy. Under the guidance of our behavioural trainers, volunteers like Angela spent time with the boys teaching them that people can be kind and fun. Volunteer Angela shares her experience helping out with Daryl and Ozzy.
First day I saw them, they were the most frozen, solid, scared little dogs that I've ever come across. You know, when I went home, I was so sad by the state they were in because they were just saddest little dogs I'd ever seen, and especially for just little Jack Russells. Being part of the rehabilitation is just great, because every week I come in and I see them improve, and they come running up to me now, and they're just so happy, and they're just lovely, lovely boys.
As their confidence grew and personalities emerged, Daryl and Ozzy have started to really enjoy life. They have participated in Planet Canine classes, played with so many other dogs, met many kind people, and gone for interesting walks. Thanks to the dedicated team at the Lost Dogs Home, Daryl and Ozzy have gone from fear to fearless and found the wonderful new homes they deserve.
So that was Nicole Beasley talking about Daryl and Ozzy. Now, that video is available on our YouTube channel, so you can check that out. It is also on our website, dogshome.com. Now, Daryl and Ozzy have both gone to wonderful new homes. Daryl and Ozzy have both been, like, their owners have been in touch with us to let us know how they're going. So it's always great to see, especially dogs within the Behaviour Rehabilitation Program, because we do put so much work into them and we do have so much time going on there. So it's just fantastic to see. So this is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy at 94.9. Let's hear from NSYNC with a bit of Bye Bye Bye. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. That was NSYNC with Bye Bye Bye. Let's just say bye 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 to NSYNC.
Well, let's say hello hello to you out there.
Right. That's right.
I am Kevin, and I'm here with Oslam, Kate and Alan. Today we're talking about behaviour modification. So behaviour mod, or behaviour rehabilitation, is a key way we help make dogs at the home ideal candidates for adoption. So recently we've introduced a foster care element to the behaviour rehabilitation program that has helped us to better attend to some of the dogs that need a little bit of extra work. Now, Kate or Alan, whoever wants to chime in, both of you, can you talk a bit about the foster care program?
I think the first thing to say is that the shelter environment itself is quite a stressful environment for dogs, because there's lots of noise, there are lots of dogs. So with little or even big, shy, timid dogs that haven't been socialized, if you can get them into a home environment, it makes it much easier for them. So the home environment, they can come out of their shell, and it gives us more information to pass on to their owners.
Now, Kate, you have actually fostered before, haven't you?
Yes, I actually fostered one of my dogs, Molly, for a few weeks, and that was it's a really rewarding experience. She settled in really well into my home, and it's a really great thing to do, so I can recommend it if anyone's interested in doing that for us.
Yeah, you can absolutely check out our website at dogshome.com. We do have more information about becoming a foster carer on there. Now, I have actually fostered myself. I fostered Chloe, who is a dog that was actually in our behaviour rehabilitation program. So, you know, Chloe is a staffy mix, and she was quite timid and shy when at the shelter. I got her into my car, and quickly discovered that she was quite afraid of cars, which was a great, fun, positive experience for both of us. But once I got her home, she met my dog, Luna the Beagle, and they just absolutely loved each other. Like, I had never seen her tail wag so fast. I'd actually never seen her tail wag because I'd been working with her at the shelter. I'd seen her being worked with other volunteers and everything like that. And it was just so fantastic to see that she really came out of her shell, and she really needed that other dog. Mm-hmm. So Chloe is actually looking for a new home at the moment. She needs to go to a home with a dog. She can get a bit bossy just because she thinks she has puppies out there. She came into the home having a phantom pregnancy, which means she needs sort of a dog that's either going to, you know, boss her back a little bit and sort of not stand up too much to it.
Or conversely, a dog that's going to just back right down.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. But she needs that other dog, because that's the only way she really comes out of her shell. When she's by herself, she's not the same dog. She just is timid and scared. But, you know, it's really cool. Good to see her play, you know, fetch and everything like that, and actually play with other dogs. And you fostered cats as well. So we do have a foster care program for the cats, don't we, Kate?
Yeah, and that was really good. I've fostered kittens. So kittens that have come in that have been underweight, they have to be a certain age and a certain weight before we can de-sex them ready for adoption. So I've had them and, you know, built up their weight, and that's been a lot of fun. Kittens are really great, and they watching them play. And
I suppose it gives us a bit of an idea about whether dogs get on with cats and whether cats get on with dogs. So we don't always know that, because it's not fair on cats to try out all our dogs with with to see how they respond to cats, but certainly if they've been through fostering, often we'll have some idea.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So coming up next, our resident vet, Alan, will be answering some of your tricky questions.
Joy 94.9.
The Joy 94.9 Trivia Extravaganza is this Sunday. Don't miss out on grabbing your tickets. Join one of our Joy teams or book your own table. Joy Trivia Afternoon is your chance to win prizes for the best basket supper, the famous Joy raffle, and more. Drinks available at bar prices. The Joy 94.9 Trivia Extravaganza from 2 p.m. this Sunday at Chapel Off Chapel. Call 1300 Joy 949 or drop by the Joy Studios and book your place.
You're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. So right now we're going to tackle some of the questions we've had this week throughout the week. You can contact us on lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Send us an email and we will get to your question when we can. So the first question we had was onto our social media page, and we were asked, what would you recommend to stop our Cocker Spaniel from sooking most of the night? So he's 12 months old. He sleeps on the bedroom floor. He wakes up every couple of hours. We take him outside, but he doesn't really want to go to the bathroom. We thought maybe he wants to sleep outside, but if we leave him out there, he barks and scratches at the door. Now, Alan, what can we do?
I guess the first thing is every time you respond to his behavior, you're reinforcing it. So he needs to learn that he can't make you do what he wants you to do. If you want him to stay in the bedroom, then I would he needs his own bed, and you start by training him during the day that he goes to his bed or goes to his mat, and you reward him for being quiet there. And then at night, when you're when you want to go to bed, you take his bed into the bedroom and do exactly the same thing. And if he starts waking you up in the middle of the night, you can tell him back on your bed. One thing you could consider would be crate training him. Now, crate training isn't just buying a crate and putting your dog into it. It takes time and it's quite involved, so there should be some stuff online which perhaps you can find.
Yeah, there absolutely is. That if you check it out, I was just going to say, I've crate trained my puppy. She was crate trained from the moment she came home. So at 8 weeks old, she was put into the crate. We made sure it was a positive experience by putting her toys in there, putting her treats in there, and she sleeps in there every night. She loves it. It's her bed. So as soon as you say bed, she runs to her crate and goes there. So it's important because, you know, dogs instinctually like to have a little den sort of thing and like small enclosed areas. So they enjoy being in that space and they feel safe in there as well.
Yeah, you have to reward them and so that they feel safe and secure. And the other thing about crate training is it's great if you want to take your dog away, like we were talking about last week, because you basically just pick up their little house, put it in the car, and you can go wherever you want and they settle into it again.
Absolutely. It means they have that familiar bed and that familiar house smell and everything as well. And I mean, I know that's one of the main reasons why I did it.
It makes holidaying that much easier, doesn't it? Yeah. If you know that you can, you know, they've got a secure place to go and you know that they're going to be happy, take some of the stress away.
And they're happy when you're a visitor. So if you have lots of kids come over, they can go somewhere where they feel safe and don't feel threatened.
I know. It also gave us, when the puppy broke her toe, it also gave us a space where if she needed that time out to go and not be too crazy with our other dog, we could just put her in the crate for a little while. We didn't leave her in there the whole day. We only left her in for a couple of hours at a time, and she'd settle, she'd sleep, and then she'd be fine. So if we don't want a crate, what is something we can do?
I suppose it can be a bit tricky having a dog sleeping in the bedroom. So if you don't want to crate train, it might be worth thinking about somewhere else in the house where you can confine him. So perhaps laundry or the kitchen. Always, you can think about using a child gate, and again, that you train him that this is where he stays or sleeps. And you start off, just leave him there for short periods, and when he's quiet, reward him.
So if you have any other issues, please, you know, it is important, contact a behavioralist or sort of a dog trainer, and they might be able to help you out with that problem. But hopefully that has helped. So if you'd like to put a question to Alan, send us an email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Simply, you can text us now if you want, 0427-JOY-949, or email onair@joy.org.au. So stick around. Right after we hear from Miss Celine Dion, we are going to be previewing some dog-friendly events in Dog Dates. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Alrighty, I think we've heard enough of Celine Dion for today. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is time for...
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
Oz, what's up this week?
Well, firstly, thank you to one of our listeners for contributing this to the Dog Dates event calendar. The Croydon and District Obedience Dog Club has a 1 hour class every Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11 a.m. So there's you have the opportunity of participating in this club that's a volunteer run club that promote positive reinforcement techniques. If you want to find out more information about the club, log on to their website, cdodc.com.au. That website again, cdodc.com.au. We will have a full listing on our website though.
And what about National Pet Register, Kate?
Well, National Pet Register is heading off to Tassie. So anybody listening from Tasmania or has friends and family in Tasmania, please let them know. We're heading off next week from Saturday the 17th. We'll be in Launceston, Georgetown and Devonport holding microchipping events. For more information on those events, please go to the Pet Register website, which is petregister.com.au. You'll need to book ahead. It's $25 to have your pet microchipped, and we'll also be giving out free ID tags as well.
So that is all the dog dates that we actually have for this week. So we do need some more. If you have a community event you would like to add to dog dates, please send us an email at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Please include the event date, location, a brief description of the event and your contact details.
For a full listing of all the events that we mentioned today, log on to our website dogshome.com/pets-a-loud. So pets allowed at the Lost Dogs Home.
Pets allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Now, as always, thankfully, we have received a couple of messages in today. So the first one we got was, doesn't actually say who it was from, but it says, "Hi guys, our dog steals other dogs' tennis balls at the park and runs off with them. He thinks it's a game and it plays keeping off, which lasts up to 20 minutes. He's great with other parts of training. What should we do?" Alan, what do you think?
I think if that's the only problem you have, I wouldn't worry too much. I would get down the $2 shop and buy lots and lots of tennis balls and replace the ones he steals.
Yeah, I have a dog that does exactly the same thing. Luna is notorious for stealing balls at the park, and it's all because she wants the dogs to chase her. And if you know, that's what's going to tire her out. As long as she's not being aggressive towards the other dogs or stealing their tennis balls too much, I don't mind. And as long as their owners don't mind either.
Yeah, and it would be, owners shouldn't really mind that sort of thing.
As long as you can get the tennis balls off them, I think, to give them back. So I think you make sure that you've got control of your dog, that they will come back to you and give the tennis ball up. So if the other owner is a bit grumpy about you stealing their dog's balls, then you can get the ball off
That's
them.
Right. Just having that good recall, Kate, it's all right. We also heard from Jordan. So Jordan is, for those of you who listen to Pets Aloud regularly, is Betty's dog, and he is a lovely little dog. So he said to say that he has very good eyesight and he can hear sound from a mile away. So when bikes and trucks come, he gets very excited. He barks. He tries to chase them. His mum, Betty, is very understanding and tries to comfort him because by positive reassurance, yet he still barks. So what can we do to make him a bit calmer?
I mean, he's just a baby, so he's going to react to things. But I think the way to kind of get a hold of it is perhaps try and get his attention before he starts. So have something that he really, really likes or really wants and just reward him for being quiet.
That's right. It's about stopping the behaviour from happening before it's actually about to happen.
Yeah, once they start, often you can't stop them.
And any other questions we have received, we will pass on in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we did receive an email early in the week from a listener who wants to adopt a dog as part of their family, but they have a 16-year-old cat and they want to know whether the dog is used to having cats around. So we'll tackle that question next week, I think.
And just quickly, we did hear from Callum as well, who said his dog always barks at the song that we played first. So that was MGMT Kids. So she
maybe singing along.
Can
maybe
never actually find the little kids that are running around the house. And thank you to Daryl as well for sending in an email from Glen Waverley. We will answer that question as soon as we can.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
So each week we put a pet dog or cat in the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. Kate, who do we have this week?
This week we have the lovely Frank. Now, Frank, in the spirit of Movember, has a lovely white moustache, a bit like a milk moustache. He is an older boy. He's 5 years old. He's black and white, short-haired cat, as I said. I met him today and he's lovely. He just is very laid back. He has been in foster care and they report that he's really easy to have around. He's very happy to curl up on your bed every night and go to sleep. He is a bit overweight, so anyone who adopts him will need to watch his food, and he certainly loves his tucker. He's a little bit shy, but I think in time he will come out of his shell and be a really great cat.
He sounds like he's a lovely cat, and he's a bit, did you say he was a bit overweight at all?
He is. So if you went to pick him up, I think he'd be like quite a weight in your arms. So you need to probably watch his food.
Yeah, so we can give you some advice about his diet whenever you come to pick him up.
Yeah.
So what is Frank's ID number?
So Frank's available now for adoption, and if you want to find out more information about Frank, you can visit our website at dogshome.com. His ID number is 919731. If you want to talk to someone about Frank, you can give us a call on 9329 2755.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
So thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, don't forget, we do podcast the show, so if you do miss anything, please check out our program page on joy.org.au.
Next week, we've got a really exciting program. We're going to be looking at the ins and outs of a veterinary clinic, what happens on a daily basis.
Yep, so that's great.
It's good for you, Alan. Yeah. So this is your time to shine. This is the show that you're going to be doing by yourself. So remember, if you do have any questions, if you want to know anything about the vet clinic as well, please feel free to email us throughout the week on lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Coming up next is afternoon with Sammy. Drive comes
we're
a bit later.
We're ahead of ourselves. It's Friday.
And remember, walk your dog.
And pat your cats.
You're on the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.